Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Thursday morning, or what's left of it. Still time to get some text in, time permitting, 251-343-0106. Joining us now, he leads an organization called ALCAP, but also he's a fellow radio host, Priority Talk Radio up in Birmingham. Greg Davis joins us. Also get to know him really well. He's in the State House a lot, knows what's going on there. Greg, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Jeff. Great to be with you, sir.
Hey, thanks for coming on. Always appreciate your time. Well, we'll start here, and I know session's January, but it's not that far away, and I'll keep it up with your show quite a bit and listening to it, and we've made seemingly a lot of strides on sort of internet protections, you know, and what, especially some of these porn companies and what they're able to put, you know, online in Alabama, there has to be age verification and things of that sort. You know, porn filters on devices, et cetera. What do you think is left to be done there? Because we've come a long way, it does seem like.
Well, a lot to be done. We've done some, I would say, the legislature, and there's still more to be done. You know, this industry of pornography is pervasive, and you know, they don't stop. And, you know, they find new ways to, you know, to access kids or to allow kids to access them. It works both ways. There's a lot to be done. You know, it took us, 4 or 5 years. I know, Representative Chris Sales had worked for years to pass this bill that finally, went through last session, concerning the filter where basically if you just buy, if you get a device, a new device for a minor, you know, we just don't think it's that controversial that, you know, the mature content filter should come on, you know, and make them go turn it off. And that seems just like a very easy thing to do. Alabama could have been the first in the country to do that several years ago. We fought and fought and fought, never could get it through. Big tech didn't like it. So finally, I think it was Utah passed it. And then once they passed it, we finally passed it this past year, but it's just a lot of little things that have to be done. It's such a multifaceted, complex issue when you come to protecting minors. There's so many different avenues that there's a lot to be done. The age verification, yeah, that's helped. All of these things chip away at it, but there's not a one size fits all solution to protect minors in all situations. It's going to be a battle ongoing forever. And, you know, I guess we could ban pornography. There's been some states that have had legislation filed in that regard, but I'm not sure, you know, that's going to pass or hold up. So until then, we've got to do all we can to protect kids, especially.
Well, talk about this aspect of it. I'm casually aware of it, but the resistance that's met by the tech companies and not that they're like yay porn necessarily, at least as far as I can tell. It's just adding all these measures, they argue, impacts their bottom line, and it means potentially higher prices on cell bills or whatever. But that is that sort of where they're coming from?
Yeah, you know, especially with the bill I just spoke about, the filter, you know, turning the filter on. You know, they said that, you know, they would have to, you know, they would have to only do that for devices in Alabama and blah, 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 and all this kind of stuff. But look, they update your phone all the time. They do things to it all the time that you don't even realize. I mean, they can do stuff like that anytime they get ready. They just don't like any infringement upon their, you know, their ability to put out content. So the porn industry creates the content, and it's the tech carriers. You know, I won't go name them off. We all know who they are. You know, all of us pay a bill to one of them every month. They're the ones who deliver the goods, and so yeah. I mean, to me, they're in it together. It's a partnership. That's the delivery method, and the industry knows that the younger they can access kids and get them exposed, the greater chance that they become addicted, that their minds are rewired as adolescents, and that they'll be lifelong viewers and slash customers. So, you know, they just put up a hard wall and, you know, don't want to do anything. And then, you know, every couple of years they give a little bit while they hold off, you know, more that's coming, you know, more restrictions. So they give a little just to protect more. And I think that's what we've seen. And look, all of the big tech carriers, they all have people that are at the state house. They by far got us outnumbered when it comes to people. And they show up and do their thing or make phone calls. And it's just amazing to me that, you know, we can't do everything we possibly could do to protect minors. And you'll never get 100%. I realize that.
Well,
we should do whatever we can.
You're getting pretty close to now, you know, whatever. Sometimes there's these filibusters and things that kind of shut down movement in the Senate, but it's not like it's a, you know, just basically a simple majority here. I mean, it seems like you have pretty broad support, even in some cases, maybe even bipartisan.
Well, you do once it gets to the floor for a vote, it does. I mean, the bill I just spoke of, I mean, it took, I think, 5 years of Chris Sells, Representative Sells, pushing that bill. But once it got to the floor and got a vote, it passed. I think it was unanimous, House and Senate. I don't think anybody voted against it. It's getting it to the floor. And so that's where the industry works. They work real hard on the high level of not letting those bills move, you know, and who, what, why, when. I don't know exactly what all goes on in those discussions or, you've had, you know, companies going to open up centers here and, you know, open up business operations here. And I don't know if they threaten, you know, those business operations in our state, say, if you pass these things, we're not going to do it here. I don't know what goes on, but for some reason, it's very hard to get those bills to come through. And, you know, then there's always people threatening litigation against them. And so that becomes a deterrent because it's just going to go to court. And I'm like, well, let it go to court. You know, we've got to vet this stuff out at some point and find out how far and how willing as a society are we to protect our kids?
Yeah, I you know, it's kind of amazing to hear the conversations about this. It's not just a matter, and this is maybe a misconception that, well, we go through a process and every bill that seems like a good idea gets its opportunity to get voted on, but well, this stuff just kind of dies rules committee or even in, you know, the committee that's like, you know, deliberating over the legislation or, you know, wherever they meet. And maybe it even faces some hurdles in their caucus meetings. But there's a lot of hurdles that have to be overcome between then and when the bill actually gets to the floor.
Oh, that's right. And once they get to the floor, no one votes. Nobody wants to vote against those. I mean, gosh, can you imagine going out running for re-election saying you voted against something to protect kids from pornography? So it just doesn't get to a vote until big tech says it's okay.
And it's just how much power, how much sway, how much influence big tech has in the state. You wouldn't necessarily think that. We point fingers at the big mules or whatever, but big tech has a very, very outsized presence, I think, in the state house.
Oh, absolutely. They've got a big presence. No doubt about it. You know, one of the things we're looking to do, I think, this year is require a warning label on the websites themselves. You know, so if somebody does come across it like you do with tobacco or, you know, other things like that and say, hey, warning. You know, this is something that's bad for you, and put that kind of warning out there. That's another thing that we could do. But they'll fight it tooth and nail, though. And yeah, they've got a presence. So, yeah, they're there every day. But when they show up at strategic times, the lobby for big tech, they show up at strategic times. And you know, right when you think, hey, we're going to get this assigned to a committee, you know, you're in the state house there. You know how it is in the halls. You go, oh, so-and-so's here, and then it doesn't make it. So, again, I wish I knew what went on behind the closed doors or, you know, what threats are made or promises are made or, you know, what deals are cut, but I'm not in those meetings. They don't let me in those.
Joined by Greg Davis here on the program. Now, I don't think we're going to see another shot taken at gambling in 2026, not in the election year. There'll be something filed, I'm sure. There'll be a bill out there. Bobby Singleton will try to get historic horse racing or something in Jefferson County. Whatever. I mean, that happens every session. But, you know, they took a shot at comprehensive gaming earlier in the quadrennium, and it failed. It literally failed by one vote in the Senate. I think it's coming in the next quadrennium. And I think, I don't know, I don't know what Tommy Tuberville is going to do. But every time you bring it up, he talks about, well, people should have, you know, this is the old line that people should have the opportunity to vote on it. I think it's coming then, and I think we're going to see it. I just wonder, like, are we kind of ready for that? Is that going to be, you know, and a lot of guys on our side that I talked to just kind of shrug it off, but I'm really concerned that this will, you know, one vote, and then you have a very popular governor coming in. It could really happen in 27, 28.
Yeah, no, I think there's definitely going to be a hard push in 27. I, you know, and again, I don't know what future Governor Tuberville will do, but you could foresee this being, you know, like a gas tax type situation, you know, the first year of a new quadrennium, you know, if the governor wants to get that involved in it. I don't know. I don't know if he'll stay, you know, kind of out of it neutral, or if he'll be a advocate for or against. I haven't seen any indication that he'll be against it, but I guess the question is, does he remain neutral or does he get all involved in it? But yeah, no, it's coming in 27. You know, the gambling industry will, you know, they're never going to stop until they, you know, get something passed. And then once they get something passed, then they'll be back and back and back. And, you know, they'll always want more and more and more. You know, it's insatiable. You look at states that have gambling and have lots of gambling. There's a battle every year to add more. And so, you know, I think it's sad when the, you know, we know that an industry is predatory. We know it's addictive. The American Psychiatric Association has put this in their diagnostic statistical manual, which is the Bible, you know, basically the Bible of that industry, and says, you know, gambling addiction is no different than, you know, heroin or cocaine or, you know, other hard drugs. It rewires the brain. It's addictive. And, you know, for the state to get in the business of a predatory addictive behavior, to legalize it, normalize it, monetize it for the state, and then commercialize it is sad. And, you know, that there's some that, you know, there is no end to the need for money. And, so yeah, I think we'll see a big push on it. That's what makes this next election so important. Like you said, one vote in 24 was the difference in the Senate. And, you know, I think there's three or four open seats in the Senate this time.
Right.
Or a couple. And then there's a couple of races that are probably going to be contested that are pretty competitive. And I think the way those turn will be key. I mean, one right there in your listening audience, you know, Senator Jack Williams is giving up his seat and running for agriculture commissioner. So that's an open seat. You know, Senator Williams had voted no in 24. And, you know, if someone in that district were to be elected that was a yes on gambling, it could flip the whole thing. So, you know, if you're out there, you need to know, where do the candidates stand on this issue and how passionate will they be for it? Where are they taking money from? You know, are they taking money from the industry? That's going to tell you a lot. So it's just where the, you know, you can't just vote for a Republican and think, yeah, this is not a Democrat issue. Democrats are not the one bringing this. It's Republicans who are bringing it, and Democrats are attaching themselves to it and getting what they can out of it, you know, for their vote.
Well, this is just the thing. And then, you know, you mentioned 2019 and the gas tax. If you go back and you look at the 2018 cycle, discussion of gas tax, it was maybe out there mentioned, you know, on occasion, but it wasn't the central issue then. It really wasn't. It was, no, for some reason, the media were still stuck on Roy Moore or whatever. But that's what worries me, that we're going to have this election cycle and gambling is not going to be on the forefront. And it needs to be. It should be. Because if they're going to do this, this is a big deal. And whether you know, support it or not, but that's my fear here, Greg, is we're going to get through this election cycle with the scant mention of gambling. You know, what does that mean? Is it just lottery? Is it casino gaming? Is it sports betting? What do we think we're going to see? And then on the other side of that, you know, it doesn't get mentioned, and we get to session, Governor Tuberville presumably gives a State of the State address, and then, oh, by the way, I'm calling a special session for gambling, and it kind of happens the way it did in 2019 with Rebuild Alabama.
You could definitely see that scenario, whether it's a special session or just, you know, takes over the regular session. You know, you definitely could see that scenario happening, whether it's just that's the first and foremost thing on everybody's mind is let's get it done and get it out of the way and be, you know, and then move on with the session. Cause, you know, it tends to dominate that building. Well, and hey, we'll be in a new building too by then.
Yeah, that's true. Well, but one more thing about that, though, whenever I talk to these lawmakers about it, it's like, well, it just pulls off the charts. And they pull it. Now, they use their internal polls, and I think they cook the books on those internals to try to convince members to vote a certain way. But, I mean, that's just my suspicion. But I think what's important here is that the public looks at it. It's just like a lottery. Why can't we have a lottery like Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, et cetera?
Well, that's right. Yeah.
But they're not getting the full story. Well, no, this is what they want to do. And you could just look at the marijuana, medical marijuana, and the way that's been handled. And they want state-regulated, state-run almost casino gaming in the state where they pick winners and losers. It's not something you bid on. It's not, you know, it's not as if you're going to get the big casino companies coming in. It's going to be these Porch Creek Indians or, you know, the Dog Tracks or whatever that's here already are going to get favorable treatment. And I don't know that that has quite the support as just saying we're going to do a lottery.
Well, that's the thing. You know, they sell it. It's always sold as a lottery. And that's what the general population hears and thinks of, which is bad enough. The lottery is absolutely predatory. And, you know, you can look at the stats from other states who have it. It preys on the poor. I mean, that's where the tickets are sold. That's where the scratch-offs are sold. And that's where they make their money. And that is the most addictive part of it are the scratch-offs. And, you know, and those are just sold on every corner store everywhere. But they sell the most of them in the lower income, you know, areas. There's no doubt about that. Statistics prove that out. So, that's all people hear is the lottery. And they don't realize that with the lottery in Alabama, with the conditions and the situation we're in, with a lottery comes all this other stuff. You just almost, it's all interwoven together and you can't really just pull out one part of it and do it. You have to do it all. And so that's what people don't get. That's what they don't understand. And the other part of you talk about the casino, Jeff, the part that's really funny to me is how so many you know, are like, well, hey, yeah, casinos are fine. Well, do you want one in your area? You know, do you want one in Baldwin County? Well, no, we don't want one in Baldwin County. But it's okay for other places, but not in your backyard. I mean, why would you vote for something that you wouldn't want such a great industry to come? I mean, you don't want it to come to your county. That's the part of it that's so hard for me to understand. And I know it's a big issue in Baldwin County with the Freedom of Information request that's out there right now. Maybe we'll find out, you know, what's been, you know, maybe what's been said or not said about the plans to turn, you know, the location there in Baldwin County into a casino. Well, look, anybody that lives near a body of water, I can promise you there's a casino ball somewhere that would love to put a casino near it.
Hey, Greg, we got to get out of here. We're way long, but thanks for making time this morning.
Appreciate it, sir. Take care.
All right, Greg Davis, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back to 7 Talk 106.5.